What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two on this Thursday morning, Darren Donick and Chase. The reaction after Mike Vrabel's presser. We'll talk with Floyd Reese, the GM. But right now, let's head over to St. Thomas Sports Park. Let's hear from the head coach of the Titans.
You hear me, Robbie?
I can. Morning, Coach.
Morning.
You want to start off with something, or do you want to open up questions?
Yeah, I just wanted to fill you guys in on where we're at with our meeting with the team this morning. At 8:30, we had a squad meeting. Informed the team that in light of the two recent positives tests that we had, the NFL had made the smart and safe decision to postpone our game. And that we would be on a bye week starting now. Reminded them to not gather with each other, players and staff, until we can find a safe way to enter in back to our building, hopefully, which would happen Monday or Tuesday, which we would then prepare for our preparation against Buffalo. Told them to try to mentally recover from emotional few days so that we can proceed with our season and build on a 3-0 start. And that was my message to them this morning.
Teresa?
Mike, you mentioned hoping to be back in the building Monday or Tuesday with the positive tests that you've gotten the last few days. How's the contact tracing going? Is it possible that some other people might need to be quarantined due to the being in proximity with others?
Sure, anything's possible. Anything's possible, Teresa. That gets taken care of. The contact tracing gets taken care of immediately. There's a POC test which happens, and again, very confident that we've followed the guidelines with the protocol that the league and the Players Association have set forth as it relates to identifying those persons of close contact and by using the tracing devices. So we'll see, you know, what happens tomorrow when we get those results back.
Buck?
Yeah, Mike, I know you guys aren't into timelines on things really at any point, but has the league kind of made you aware of what theirs might be for your purposes moving forward?
I think I have an idea. I don't want to speak for the league, but I think that John and I have an idea of when that may happen based on the results of the tests here in the next few days.
Jim?
Mike, I guess, how did the players take the news, and how difficult is it to kind of turn it off after you're kind of gearing up for a game?
I think that, I think they were somewhat shocked. They were, they wanted to play. They were preparing to play. But I think that they understood and realized why the decision was made, and I think that they'll handle this like they do everything else. They'll handle it with professionalism, with understanding and a compassion towards not only ourselves and those people that have been affected, but also Pittsburgh, the Steelers that were preparing for a game, and now we'll have their schedule changed as well.
Kayla?
Yeah, Coach. While we hope that this will be the last of something like this in the NFL, there's no guarantees of that. What can you say just with what you've dealt with over the past few days that can maybe help other teams and other leagues, prepare for something like this?
I think it's just important that you stay together. I think you stay consistent in what the approach is, that you have a personal side to you that you want to make sure that those people that are indeed infected are safe and that they're healing, but also understand that the severity of it, and that we'll probably have different protocols that we'll have to follow. I understand that when we go back into the building, and we'll do exactly what the league asks us to do for the safety of the players and their families and our staff and their families.
Teron?
Excuse me. Coach, you said yesterday that some of the players developed flu-like symptoms. How is Coach Bowen doing? Has he developed any symptoms like that?
Well, I don't want to necessarily just single out just the players or just the staff. There were some people that tested positive that had symptoms and some that didn't. And so I think that's a good reminder about this virus, that it does affect people differently. And some people have expressed that they don't know a difference, and others have had flu-like symptoms. So, don't want to single out either the players or the staff members involved with those symptoms, but I'd say that people are starting to feel better.
John?
Yeah, Mike, just based on the NFL protocol for return that we discussed yesterday, how much do you think, even looking forward to next week, that the outbreak will affect the team as well?
I don't think we'll know, John. I mean, how it affects the team is, I think, psychologically. We're always going to be as prepared as we possibly can be physically to get, the player or coach in there that is next in line. And whether that be with an injury or with, a virus that would have them miss time, I don't think I can answer that any more than we'll find out where we go with the testing and the results and how they play out here in the next few days to see who's available and see where we are at as a team.
Paul?
Mike, I'm wondering if we could go back to Saturday when Shane's positive test comes back. I know you've talked about following all the protocols. Is there no protocol there for contact tracing where maybe you wouldn't have taken certain people with you to Minnesota who had been close to him?
Again, Paul, when we get the results early in the morning, Todd and his staff and Adrian begin the contact tracing. They do the follow-up testing, and then we proceed from there with the protocol as it relates to any of the positives that would come up.
But surely some of these guys have tested positive since, had it there, and had occasion to spread it to more of your people and potentially, thankfully not, to the Vikings during the course of the weekend, no?
We continue to follow the protocol from the NFL that was set forth and that continues to change and adapt and adjust. So whatever the NFL tells us that we're required to do and we're supposed to do as positive tests come in, that's what we'll do.
Terry?
Mike, with this now being your bye week, is it do you have any sort of timetable as to when that the league wants you to play in week 7 now, or
or you think they're more likely are going to move that to the end of the year?
Terry, what we're focused on as a team right now is now using these next few days like we would our normal bye week to mentally and physically prepare ourselves for a push for the rest of the season. That's what I explained to the team. I was part of a team in 2001 that had after the 9/11 incident, played 14 straight games and won the Super Bowl that year. So however many we have to play in a row, that's what we'll prepare for. But our focus, our singular focus is on the next week, which would be Buffalo.
David?
Mike, understanding that you control what you can control, how frustrating, disheartening, whatever the word is, to have to react to something here that is so far out of your control right now?
Well, that's our job. You know, that's what that's why we're in these positions with John and I and, you know, our head trainer and our doctors in the NFL. That's our job, is to be decisive, make decisions with the best the team's best interest and the league's best interest in mind. I think that's what's going on here. I know that there's disappointment and there will always be second guessing. All I can do is do my best to respond to whatever situation we're presented with as a team.
Chris Harris.
Hey, Mike, I just wanted some clarification. You said initially that you told your players not to gather. I'm curious, what is the rule on the safety protocol as far as them getting together? In other words, like, if Ryan Tannehill wanted to throw some passes with guys over the next few days, is he forbidden to do that based on the safety protocol, or you just suggest that, or how does that work?
We've asked our players to, in light of, you know, the recent tests, to not gather, whether that's a league protocol or us asking them, so that we can just avoid close contacts and that we can try to work through this and get back into the building to prepare for Buffalo as quickly as possible.
Eric?
I'm good, Robbie. My question's been asked. Thanks.
Jared Stone.
Yeah, Mike, going forward, how do you keep the players in shape? We noticed that obviously the offseason, given what it was hard to get the guys in shape to where they are now. How do you keep them in shape for Buffalo? And how advantageous, even in spite of the situation, how advantageous will it be to have a week off for Adoree, Taylor, AJ, as you get ready for a really good Buffalo team?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, part of that, you know, your responsibility as a professional football player is to try to stay in shape. I think it's important that they try to find a way to do something to stay active, you know, to get outside, to do something. And then, you know, that was my message to the team was, you know, if this is going to be our bye week, you know, there's a lot of players that can use this time and use this advantageously to possibly return for us to continue to improve, to play better. You know, we've played three games. We've won them all. Could have played a lot better, but we've won the games that we've played, which has put us in a good position. We'll have to play much better and continue to improve, but that would – the time – we have to use now time to our advantage that we've been given because of the situation.
Corey?
Hey, Coach, in 24 hours, we went from playing Monday, Tuesday to postponing. I'm just curious, did you know you were a positive test or two away from not playing this game this week?
I've kind of figured as much. You know, I mean, I don't think there was anything formally said to me, but – you know, you don't sleep much and you wake up early waiting for the results and you kind of know that could be a possibility.
Joe, Rexha?
Yeah, Mike, kind of going back to Paul's question on Saturday, what was the communication like with the league and maybe even with the Vikings at that point, was essentially getting clearance to still take the flight to Minnesota? And do you think moving forward, this is something that could or should change in terms of a positive on Saturday for a team about to travel and maybe having that game be postponed?
Very, very confident in the way that we handled the situation as it relates to the protocol and what, you know, my opinions are going forward. I don't have any because I have to rely on the league and their our doctors and the Players Association's doctors to make the protocols and for us to do everything we can to follow them.
Gentry?
Yeah, Mike, I guess just with everything you guys have gone through the last few days, how helpless a feeling is it, you know, when you do follow the protocols and it still wasn't enough to stop this sort of thing from happening?
I don't know if you feel helpless. You know, I think we're resolved in, you know, our focus to move forward to try to continue to do everything we can do to make where the players come to work every day and our staff comes to work every day as safe as possible to make sure that our behavior is in line with what we would expect as we work our way through the season. And you know, we'll keep forging ahead and we'll get, you know, confident that we'll get everyone healthy and that we'll continue to make it a safe environment and to try to make sure that the players' safety and their families and our coaches are at the forefront.
Teresa?
Sorry, it took me a second to find the mute button. Mike, your coaching tenure, you start with the longest game in NFL history in Miami a couple years ago. Now you're dealing with the first COVID outbreak in the NFL. Is there anything that can help a person prepare to deal with this as an NFL coach?
You know, I don't know if there's, you know, just your life experiences and what you and how you handle things and how you, your outlook on things, your attitude and what you approach, you know, each and every day. But I don't, you know, there's just certain things that come up that you don't plan for. Sometimes you do plan for them, sometimes you don't, but I think that you just do the best job that you can and continue to try to lead the group of people that you're charged to lead.
Paul?
Mike, when are you asking guys to be ready to return to the building? And was Greg Maben in the building before he tested positive, or was he still in the process of getting clearance when he tested positive?
I talked to the players this morning about, you know, we'll still daily COVID test through Monday, and that I would be in contact with everyone as it relates to our return into the building or what the schedule would look like. So we'll wait to see what the league does and how we approach that. But as far as Greg Maben and his involvement with the COVID-19 reserve list, you know, when he tested positive, he was removed from the building, was quarantined, and those individuals that were close contacts with him were also retested and went through their protocol as well as being a close contact.
John?
And Mike, I guess just a quick follow on that. So what it, I guess technically speaking, he was in the building before he tested positive for COVID, Maben?
When you try players out, they go through a process of testing and quarantine before you work them out. And then, you know, when you work them out, you decide to sign them or not, and then they're into the testing protocol. At that point in time, when he tested positive, we went through all the protocol, and he was removed from the facility.
Right. And just a quick follow on that, you mentioned earlier that some guys like Adoree, Isaiah, you know, might have had a chance to get back to practice this week. Did you get any sense of whether that, you know, indeed might have been the case had things worked out?
I guess it doesn't really matter right now, John. We'll determine where those guys are at on Monday or Tuesday, whenever we can get back in.
Gotcha. Last two, Terry.
Yeah, Mike, kind of following up on Teresa's second question there. You have dealt with quite a bit in terms of, you know, distractions and things like that, and obviously this is a major one. But where have you kind of groomed yourself and learned how to kind of roll with the punches through this? Is that from your upbringing, from coaches that you've had, from where does a lot of that come from for you?
Well, I try not to panic. You know, try to just assess the situation and do what's best for the team. And I think I've had a lot of great role models and coaches. You know, starting with my dad, who was a high school basketball coach. They were both parents, were both educators, were both principals. You know, I think spending 8 years in New England, you know, playing for Bill, we certainly try to take that approach. When things come up, you deal with them and you put the team first and you figure out a way to get it, you know, get things handled.
Last one, Jim.
Like, how do you handle the weekend? How do you want the staff to handle it, knowing you've got a long grind ahead and this might be your only time to get a break if you can?
That was amazing, Jim. Hopefully we have a tape and video.
All right. We're just going to end on that. Poor Jim Wyatt. That did not paint him in the best of light. I have no idea what that
question was.
It's like a record you put.
It was
on
the old record that was
down
on the wrong speed. Yeah, it's the wrong speed of the record.
Oh, that was fantastic. I kind of wanted to hear what Vrabel, because Vrabel was like,
I know he was ready to give him a jab there.
Oh, I'm still recording it. Yeah, we it'll be yeah.
Slow the record down.
Oh, my. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk with the GM on the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, you heard Titans head coach Mike Vrabel react to their game being postponed. No Week 4 matchup between the Titans and the Steelers at Nissan Stadium. It was going to be the first time the Titans could actually have fans in the stands. They were going to have up to 7,000 fans in the stands, but not meant to be. It will now turn into their bye week, and we'll see how the league handles it moving forward. We now talk with the GM, Floyd Reese, who can be heard every day following our show, starting at 2 o'clock Monday through Friday. Floyd Reese brought to you by Sealmaster, keeping your parking lots looking brand new. How do you think you would have handled all of this? I know we've talked about some of this stuff with you during all of this, but now we've got a new layer. The Titans become the first team in the league to have, you know, the hiccups we've all been waiting for. We've been waiting for this to happen. We knew it was going to happen eventually. It just happens to be the team that's in our backyard. How do you think you would have handled all this?
You know, I think they have prepared for all of this. I think they've gone through all of these different scenarios. I think they've presented it to the clubs. I think the clubs have had time to put together whatever plan, you know, they need to put together to take care of their particular situations. I mean, I'm sure I'm like you. I mean, I don't think this is this is the first, but I don't think it's the last. And, you know, we're going to see more of this. But it was a little bit of a shock to have us be the first ones. You know, you're thinking somebody else is going to do this, and we'll kind of check them out and see what they do, and the things we really, really like, we'll, you know, adhere to, and those that we don't, we'll just toss. But when you're the first one, you're the kind of the test kit. So people will be looking at what we're doing and go from there.
Yeah, and what stinks is, you know, this would have been, you know, one of the marquee matchups of the week, right? I mean, 2-3-0 teams, Steelers, Titans. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a giant game, and I think there would have been a lot of people looking forward to it. And I saw a report earlier, I don't know, maybe earlier today or last night, where they were talking about, okay, they were going to move it to Monday, and it was going to be a nationally televised game. And I thought to myself, well, you know, that's a pretty good game to televise, 2-3-0 teams. But not so fast.
Yeah, it would have been during your show. You would have been, I think they were talking about kicking off at 4 o'clock.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
That was one scenario was
that
out
was,
there.
That was
there
a was, scenario that was out there.
There was also a just having two Monday night games at the same time, which I'm not sure ESPN would have loved.
Well, I think if it was 2-0-3 teams, maybe they just go on to do that.
Right,
but
they
this
don't
matchup,
care.
They're like, yeah, we'd probably like to put this, you know, standalone. This
clean is, that up, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly. What do you thinking about just how going through this week, and now you're talking about if this doesn't play, this plays out, this is a bye week, and now you're talking about playing the rest of the season if there's no more incidents, and you don't have that middle of the year bye week now. Now it's in the first month. How do you adapt to that if you're Mike Vrabel and this coaching staff?
You know, it's going to be interesting, and I think this is the league has really done a pretty good job of this throughout. I think it would have been easy for them to say, okay, we're not going to play this week, but we're going to move this or do this or move it to week 18 or whatever the case may be, but they kind of held off from all that. So I think they're going to wait and see how this thing plays out. You know, this is early for a bye week. Not ideal. You certainly would want it later on if you had your druthers, but unfortunately, like so much of that's going on in 2020, you don't really have a choice.
Yeah.
Talking to Floyd Reese, and Floyd, you know, it's so interesting. You have to adapt, right? There were a lot of questions to Mike Vrabel today about just how can you prepare yourself? And he used, I guess, his background, right? Where I guess in life, your life experiences, you learn to adapt, and leaders are good at leading people through a process like that they've never gone through before. I thought that was good insight, right? Because it just shows the human side of this. Somebody's got to lead the troops through this.
And I think Mike is really good at that. You know, one of his strong suits. And I think he was probably the right guy at the right place for the Titans anyway, to be able to do this, say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And it kind of started from the beginning, you know, when they first talked about, okay, we might have to change the game. We might have to not be able to practice. And Mike didn't let any of that affect him, you know, went right over the top. Okay, fine. When are we going to play? Where do you want us? We'll be there, you know, kind of an attitude, which is what you have to have. I thought it was interesting. It was interesting for me because when this whole thing started, in my mind, I think everybody understood that if you have two or three or four, whatever the number of players not available, that the game would go on, you know. And in my mind, I thought that meant, you know, that meant those guys would be not be allowed into the facility, and that, you know, the facility would carry on because, you know, they disinfect that facility, you know, probably a couple times a day, but certainly after everybody leaves at night. So that's probably the cleanest place in the city. So, you know, I'm thinking, okay, fine, we'll go ahead. Well, then all of a sudden they hit me with, now you can't practice. And I kind of went, oh, no. And then I called a couple of guys in the league, and they said, no, they kind of told us that from the beginning, that if, you know, if you have some guys that test positive and that and that they're not going to be able to play. But in addition to that, you may not be able to practice in your facility for a day or two. So, you know, everybody in the know just kind of said, yep, that's the way it's going to be, and we all accept that, and let's go forward.
Yeah, it has been an educational process, I think, to learn. And, you know, Floyd, you were very versed. We've kidded you about it before. Like, as, for us as media, we always want to know all the information, and you have to be very conscious of what you're saying, what you're allowed to say, and what you don't want to say when you're in these situations. And this is a tough one for Mike Vrabel. And in regards to Saturday, I thought he handled it pretty well, because I think we're all curious what happened after Shane Bowen tested positive, and the process of them still feeling confident that they could fly to Minnesota and play a game, the conversations with the league, et cetera. And Mike Vrabel basically said this: I'm not responsible for the protocols that the league puts out. They make the protocols. We follow the protocols, and we were confident that we did that, and so we went ahead and played the game. So I guess now the question is, do we need to look at the protocols, and could the protocols be stricter? But I thought from Vrabel's standpoint, that was the right answer.
And I think you're right. I mean, I think – and knowing J. Robin, though, Mike, I mean, they're not going to cheat on those things. You know, there's absolutely nothing to benefit them by cheating on any of those protocols. And so I'm confident they followed all of that to the T. I agree with you. Now the league may be taking a step back and really analyzing it and saying, okay, you know, if this happens, if you have a Saturday morning test positive, should you let everybody get on that plane? You know, yeah. Or should you say, okay, no, you may have to fly in the morning, or you may have to fly later on today, or whatever the case may be? Because I guess in the league's mind, and rightfully so, part of the issue with all this was the, you know, 4 hours or whatever the flight to Minnesota and back is in that plane, you know, with how many ill guys, if any, on the plane. So, you know, that is kind of a major concern, and something that, you know, they will probably analyze in depth and maybe come up with an alternate plan.
We're talking to the GM, Floyd Reese, brought to you by Seal Master, keeping your parking lots looking brand new. And Floyd, 2 to 6 weekdays with Jared on Jared and the GM. So with this is one incident, but one thing that we have been discussing, you know, the last week or the last few days, I should say, this week is, all right, could there be more? There might be more. So when you think about that, Floyd, and maybe people that you talk to within the league, could you foresee more conversations now about a bubbled playoff once they get to that point of putting these teams in some sort of bubble to prevent this from happening? Because you're not going to be able to alter the schedule all that much once you get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not sure I see that yet. I don't think they'll discard any idea. I think whatever's out there, they're going to have to look at and think about. You know, I think it's going to be interesting because we're, you know, right now, let's just say that this game is pushed to the, you know, what we keep seeing is week 18. You know, that time between the end of the season and the Super Bowl and that space in there and how many games are going to be involved, how many teams are going to be involved, and all of those things before or after the playoffs. I don't, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see how all that plays out. Because God forbid, you know, let's just say that 20 teams end up having to cancel a game. Well, when you get to week 18, you may not have enough room, you know, to accommodate those games.
Right.
And so now you're saying, well, we may need a week 19. Okay, well, if you need a week 19, does that now mean that's you've got 2 weeks of buys in there before you get to the playoffs? And, you know, there's going to be a lot of back and forth on that and trying to figure out the right thing to do.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's one thing that we were kind of throwing around. I mean, do they have an alternate date for the Super Bowl that they haven't told anyone about that, you know, they can, if we got to move some stuff around, we can do that. Or are they just kind of stuck, like you said, and hope that if they have to have a week 18, they have that week in between the Super Bowl and the conference championships. I mean, this. I'm sure these are things that have been discussed behind the scenes, but it just raises more questions now that we've seen an example of it.
And I think I've heard that they've got like a 3-week span at the end of the season before the Super Bowl where they can move the Super Bowl back if they have to, you know, which would accommodate the week 18 or the week 19. Now, it does give quite a few, you know, initially you're going to have one team with a bye. Well, you may end up with a whole handful of teams that have byes. And how long is that? And, you know, do you do that before the playoffs? Do you do it before the Super Bowl? I mean, I think all of that are going to be questions that are up in the air. And I think it's, you know, the truth is we don't know the answer to those things. So let's don't start, you know, from a league standpoint, let's don't start throwing dates out there and times. And, you know, oh, yeah, well, for sure the Super Bowl is going to be this date simply because – I mean, as this is a great example of, we just don't know yet.
So I know you always carried a long snapper, and one of the players that's on the list is Bo Brinkley, the Titans' long snapper. How would you go about evaluating his replacement? Because, you know, that's a skilled position that doesn't exactly grow on trees. How do you think that they handle that?
Yeah, and of all those guys, now I don't know who the guy that turned up positive today is, but of all those positions, that one scares me the most, as crazy as it sounds, because the tendency is, and I'm just throwing a name out here, I don't know who the backup long snapper is. I think it's Ben Jones. So let's
I think
say
that's right.
Yeah, so let's say it's Ben Jones. Okay, well, when you're snapping for a field goal, you know, yeah, you can practice that a little bit, and I'm sure he's done it in the past, and but what about punts? Now, all of a sudden, he's not only snapping for punts, but covering as a cover guy on the punt team. And I love Ben Jones, but Ben Jones is not the cover guy you want on the field. Now, he may be a great snapper, but when it comes to coverage, that's a little bit shaky. So I think they're going to have to find somebody out there that they have confidence in, that's experienced. And even if you bring that guy in, what's his relationship going to be with the holder? What's his relationship going to be with Gostkowski? I think Gostkowski finally got into rhythm this week, you know, and you saw that. Well, now you bring in a new element, and all of a sudden, directly or indirectly, there are some question marks in the back of their mind, you know. This guy's not exactly like our last guy, and so we may have to adjust here and adjust there and, you know, hold the ball a little bit differently and all of those things that kickers just hate. So that long snapping position really does concern me.
Do you remember drafting Chris Sanders?
The receiver?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was he pretty fast?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was a track star at Ohio State, wasn't he?
Yeah, track star. I mean, he did it all, but he could run like the wind.
But you know what he wasn't good at, though?
What's that?
He actually holds a record in the NFL. I don't know if you knew that or not, Floyd. He has the record in the NFL for the fewest career rushing yards. Why did you guys use him as a running back? Negative 36 yards rushing in his career, and that is an NFL record for a track star who averaged like 23 yards a catch as a receiver. He holds the record for the fewest career rushing yards in NFL history.
You know what? That's one of those 2 o'clock in the morning plays that you put in and you say, man, oh man, if Chris gets that and if he finds an opening, nobody will catch him. It'll be a sure touchdown. You know, and then you put it in on practice and you go, yeah, if he can get started, if he can get headed the right direction and going, you're probably right. But that may not happen.
He had four carries for minus 36, and so that's the record. And here's the other sad part: when they list the other people, Athletic, by the way, did a that's right, it's all punters. The next several guys are punters on the list, botched a snap or something. So
I tried
Chris
to take off running.
Yeah, so the Athletic has an article on this, and they actually got Chris in an interview, and obviously Chris doesn't remember half of this stuff, and he's like, oh, I'm the record holder. That's nice. You know how nice a guy is. You know, he's going to.
It's like, oh, I have a record.
I have a record. Okay.
Yeah. That's one of those, don't you remember when you – no, no, I don't remember any of that.
I don't remember that.
Guy who averaged 23 yards a catch, averaged minus 9 yards rushing.
Wow. Wow.
For every attempt. Anyway, I thought we'd
– He averaged what on receptions, like 25 yards a reception or whatever?
I think it was 23 yards.
Yeah, his rookie year, 23 yards a catch, and then his next year, I think it was like 18 yards a catch.
Wow.
Yeah. But couldn't run. You guys need to stop. You needed analytics back then, Floyd. It would have told you, do not exactly give it to 81. Right. Do
but
not
it sounded
give
like
it
a great idea at the time. Give it to Chris. He's fast. Just give
He's
it
fast.
To him.
He can outrun everybody.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe, right. Thanks for doing this, as always.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Floyd Reese, he can be heard coming up at 2 o'clock every day following our show. Floyd Reese, every week, is brought to you by Sealmaster, keeping your parking lots looking brand new. We'll have fun with Chris because silly underdogs are coming up at high noon.
Poor
we
Chris.
Will certainly have fun with that. And we'll have fun with his review because his review sounds the same every week. We'll come back, wrap up the second hour of Darren Donica Chase next.
You know, again, Paul, when we get the results early in the morning, Todd and his staff and Adrian begin the contact tracing. They do the follow-up testing, and then we proceed from there with the protocol as it relates to any of the positives that would come up.
But surely some of these guys have tested positive since, had it there, and had occasion to spread it to more of your people and potentially, thankfully not, to the Vikings during the course of the weekend, no?
We continue to follow the protocol from the NFL that was set forth and that continues to change and adapt and adjust. So whatever the NFL tells us that we're required to do and we're supposed to do as positive tests come in, that's what we'll do.
Mike Vrabel talking to the media today to begin this hour. Tom Palacero has just put out this tweet. A bus driver who drove the Titans last weekend to the stadium, I guess around Minneapolis, in preparation for their game against the Vikings, also drove the Houston Astros around for their playoff series at Target Field against the Twins. And since all that has come out, the Astros have removed that driver. Guess they don't need to. Yeah.
But the driver to this point is not positive, right? Has not tested positive.
I think it goes back to contact tracing, what Mike Vrabel was just talking about.
Which is smart. But I think that illustrated, that answer by Vrabel was, he clearly was prepared for questions along those lines. Joe Rexroad asked some follow-ups on that, the procedure of Saturday. And Mike Vrabel said, in as many words, hey, we followed the protocols from the NFL. They don't make the protocols. So they got the okay to fly. But it's certainly logical to ask the question, was it the right thing to do to fly to Minnesota? So I think the league probably needs to discuss that, right?
They were discussing some of these things on Monday before all this stuff happened.
Yeah.
After his press conference.
Well, and also, remember, it wasn't disclosed publicly that Bowen wasn't there. That has to be part of, you know, remember, the Titans are saying they followed the protocols. We trust that that's the case. But then you start looking at the protocols. And do the protocols need to be looked at and possibly amended if that's the case? I don't know the answer to that because right now they have been able to keep it within one team. And to this point, the Vikings appear to be coming out of the woods and starting to practice again. As long as that's the case, they have avoided anything really complicated. But I don't know if that's still the right answer going forward, though.
Yeah,
they could be more strict in the protocols. I think that's what it comes down to, right?
And they may have. I mean, that they may have to. I mean, that just be.
I think that's the question.
I think that we all agreed that once they came out with whatever the plan was, the protocols, that okay, this is a good way to start, but we're not going to know if these are going to work until we actually start doing it. And
right.
Now we have seen an example where they haven't worked. There has been a, you know, however you want to call it, outbreak or whatever. But I think that they certainly will review it. They may go, you know, the Titans themselves may say, hey, we're just gonna add more on our own. We're gonna tighten this up a little bit so we don't go through this again, because now it's almost like they've used the mulligan. They have the bye week, they can work with that. They still can make this, you know, work for 16 games, but if it happens again, if they do miss Buffalo, then you've added a whole nother layer to things. So
what do you mean they should tighten it up on their own? What is that? Mike Vrabel says they've been following every single protocol to the, you know, to the T.
Right.
What are they going to tighten up on their own if they're just following league rules?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe they internally come up with some protocols that are, you know, a little tighter than what the league has put out there, so they, you know, prevent this from happening again. He did say that. He said, well, you know, we may look at some different protocols.
Well, you can't do anything like that on your own. I mean, if you did that, then why would you want to play the game? I mean, what you'd have to then call, if you're going to tighten up what, because, well, you know,
what you did there,
you brought this up. Yeah, well, you're the one who started it. So just so you know. You did say it. I was going to say something, but
okay.
I just let it go. But you're going to pull the plug on the game, because if you're talking about tightening up the protocols, then you're not going to Minnesota. Well, the league has to be involved in that. You're then stepping out. It's not your call. You don't get to say, hey, league, we're canceling. That's the league's call.
Can't make it this weekend.
Yeah, we can't make it. Yeah, I know we follow the protocols, but we're going to go a little bit deeper dive than what you guys have told us to do. We're just going to go on and bag out like that. That's not how
it works.
Well,
I didn't say they would cancel the game on their own. Clearly, the league would.
Well, if they're
going to
tighten up, then if they're going to do things on their own, which is what you just suggested, then I guess the right thing would have been to shut it down.
Maybe so. I'm just saying what Vrabel said. Vrabel said they would look at different protocols potentially once they got back to the building. You know, maybe they have fewer people in a meeting, or, you know, I don't know. I don't know exact. I don't have the rules in front of me. I'm not privy to that information.
I'm just saying
what he said.
I think this is
society.
It's a
right?
dangerous territory to start trying to figure out how it happened, unless they know. And, more times than not, you don't. Right? Unless they're doing stuff behind the scenes that we don't know, that if we saw, we'd be like, yeah, probably wouldn't do things that way. If you have been following everything by the letter of the law, which is what he has claimed they've been doing, I think it's pretty dangerous to get in there and start second-guessing everything. Because sometimes you're just not going to, no matter if you're doing everything by the letter of the law, if you saw Hard Knocks, Andrew Whitworth said the same thing. Like, we've done everything the way we're supposed to, and you know what? Me and my family tested positive.
I don't think there's anything you do to stop that possibility from happening. I think when we're looking at the protocols, it's what happens when somebody does test positive, inevitably, because this won't be the last team that this happens to. I think if you could wave a magic wand today, right, you would wave the magic wand and say, probably would have been a good idea not to fly to Minnesota, and possibly.
But once again, that's
you wouldn't
not their
have,
call.
But we don't
that's
know.
Not
no,
their
of course.
Call.
No, I'm not saying it is. These are the protocols that they laid out. But that's the tough thing with this virus, right? Is they don't, at the time that they find this out, they don't know for sure that this was going to happen. If they did, they would have shut it down for sure. But I think they felt like with the protocols they had, the chances were small that you would have a little outbreak, which is what has happened as a result. So Mike Vrabel handled it the best way. He's not a doctor. He's following the protocols from the league. So as long as you're doing that, that's fine. But and we hope it's just this one team, this one time, but this is a chance for the league to look at it and say, okay, do we need to look at these protocols at all and handle the next time this happens differently. That's the key for the transparency, the communication, the learning from what unfolds. And at the same time, by the end of the season, I think you have to protect yourself and say the playoffs are going to be in a bubble.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. That's where it's got to be headed. It's got to be. You can't have this in a playoffs, heading into a playoff week, right? I mean, because it will have, it could happen. I don't want to say it will happen, but it certainly could happen. But how are you going to do things differently? What are you going to do? Unless you start canceling games. Then the new topic that we're going to need to get into is, what's the adjusted playoff schedule and Super Bowl schedule look like?
Yeah, and who says, I mean, it's week four, Darren.
Right, right.
Like, this is incident number one.
Exactly, right.
I think if there are some odds on this, I would say that the odds are pretty good of this is not going to be the last time that something like this happens in the NFL. So I would think that if there aren't any alternate schedules, which I believe there are, you know, Floyd alluded to that, there will be soon. And the bubble thing. I mean, they're going to have to.
I think you might have to do the juggling that they're going to try to do, I think, with this game with the Steelers. There's probably going to be a couple more of those. And then I think the makeup week, at week 18, however you want to label it, might be necessary. And the earlier you get started on that with the reality of it, maybe the better. Now, maybe you don't have to put it into play until you do, but I think that contingency has to be prepared.
We'll come back, start the third hour with silly underdog picks. That's next.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.